What I want to talk about and focus on is how do local health departments actually bring about policy, environmental, and systems change? And the answer really is to, first of all, build the capacity to do it. And that kind of requires a sea change from what local health departments traditionally have been doing. And Nancy, you talked a little bit about that, where the focus has been on one-to-one. But really, we need to think about populations and how to change systems that address larger numbers of people. So let me first say that I have no relationships to disclose, because that's a requirement. I have no relationships to disclose. So what is NACHO? The National Association of City and County Health Officials is the, or it's where the trade association that represents the over 2,800 local health departments, and we support efforts that protect and improve people, the health of people, in all communities by promoting national policy, developing resources and programs, and seeking health equity, and supporting effective local public health practice and systems. And a very important part of our work is helping local health departments deal with these kinds of challenges. Basically, we have engineered healthy lifestyles and healthy decisions out of our lives over the past several decades, and it will take a much longer time to change that. And local health departments are going to have to take the lead in doing this. We have an opportunity with community transformation grants, and community transformation grants from the Affordable Care Act is really the first time the federal government has recognized the need to address chronic disease prevention and management through policy, environmental, and systems change. But there are other kinds of grant opportunities as well for local health departments, like those from the Kellogg Foundation, those from RWJ, that Elise talked about. And the question is, are you prepared as a health department to access these funds? That's the first thing. But the second thing is, what does the health department need in order to be effective at bringing about these systems change? First of all, who here is actually from a local health department? Raise your hand. Okay.
Not me.
Okay. Come on, raise your hands if you're from a local health department. Okay, we know you're there. Don't hide. Okay. Anyone here work with local health departments, either on a community coalition or things like that? Okay. Yes. So I don't know who you other guys are, but you should be involved in this movement to build healthier communities. So the question is, how do you do it? And so this is the real paradigm shift that I'm talking about, that local health departments need to know about. We need to think about, how do you change the risk factors and the choice architecture of the environments where people live, learn, work, and play? And by choice architecture, I mean those things that kind of nudge you to make the wrong decision about your health. People who do merchandising understand this very well. You know, you have the sugary sweet cereals at just the right eye level where the kids are in the cart at the grocery store. Or you have the candies right at the cash register. Those are by design. And so part of what we need to do is think about, how does the design of these environments where people live, learn, work, and play lead us to make unhealthy decisions, and how can we change that? We need to think about improving the functioning of the systems that help us help people manage chronic diseases when they have them. And then we really need to understand how to do it. How do you actually implement policy systems and environmental change strategies in your communities? And that's really a question about public policy. How do you engage with all the systems that develop the laws and make the decisions that determine these things? And so the question, and what I'm going to talk about now, is what are the competencies that local health departments need in order to do that? Well, the first thing is that your local health department should have this document. This is a CDC-funded policy brief called A Roadmap to Chronic Disease Prevention, which lists the kinds of capacities that all local health departments need to effectively address chronic disease prevention from a population health perspective. And what we did was we did a very intense literature review and had substantive discussions with a number of NACHO work groups, including our chronic disease work group, our big cities chronic disease community of practice, which includes health department officials from the 50 largest local health, largest metropolitan areas in the country. We have our Workforce and Leadership Development Committee, which has changed its name, which includes people from local health departments that deal with workplace issues and hiring decisions and things of that nature. All of our NACHO work groups include senior local health officials like health commissioners, health officers, but also particularly for large cities, they may be mid-level managers for, say, a Department of Health Promotion or Chronic Disease Prevention. So we convened these groups after the literature review, and we developed a comprehensive list of activities that local health departments are doing to improve population health through Policy Systems and Environmental Change, or PSC. We also included promising policy change strategies that other communities are working on or have been working on, but not necessarily led by the local health department. And after that, we developed a comprehensive list of activities and grouped them into seven different functions. And these seven functions map into each of the critical capacities listed in the operational definition of a local health department. The operational definition of a local health department is another policy brief that NACHO put together, which is available online, and I would urge you to download it because it's the basis of a lot of the work that we do with local health departments. And so based on these seven functions, we identified a range of minimal staffing to implement the activities across these LHDs, and we did it for different sizes of LHDs. What's the minimum staffing required for small local health departments? What's the minimum staffing for medium size? And what's the minimum staffing for local health departments that are in big cities? And what are the kinds of competencies needed? And then we identified the strategies and resources to build that capacity. So let me just list out some of the seven functions. These should be very, very familiar to those of you with a public health background. Every local health department, if they really want to do PSC, they need to understand how to mobilize community partners and to broker relationships. That's a very traditional public health. They need to be able to conduct community health assessments and planning, and that's very much the model that's being used in ACHIEVE. And they also need to know how to implement policy systems and environmental change strategy. And that in itself is an art, because it involves really identifying what the policies are and going to the decision makers and putting things on the table. It's politics. So let me say a little bit about those capacities. This table shows the competencies that it's really required in order to really do PSC at the local level. Local health department staff really have to understand and identify proven PSC strategies in different settings. They need to be able to go from, in the school setting, moving from celebrating a National Nutrition Month to increase awareness generally, to adding fruits and vegetables to the a la carte menu. They need to be able to think about how do you not just, you know, hosting a community bike ride and parade for the community to increase walkability, but they need to understand how to implement a complete streets policy. I'm not going to go too much in depth, but I think that you get the point. They need to understand how to move a local policy agenda. And this graphic here, basically, I borrowed this from Leadership for Healthy Communities. It sort of goes through the policy implementation process where you start with identifying the problem, raising the problem's profile, developing a solution and then getting it adopted, and then there's assessing the policy impact. And so what you see here is that it's not just about understanding how to do health education or working one-on-one with clients. It's really engaging the political system in order to make things happen. And that requires a very different set of skills than what people are used to. Local health departments need to understand and measure the potential impacts of alternative policies. So some policies have a larger impact than others. This particular graphic comes from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Healthy Communities Program Policy Guidance document, which was just released this year. There are some kinds of policies that are more catalytic, where it just sort of provides a key element that may encourage a healthy behavior to be adopted. And so that's sort of at the lower level. But then there are other kinds of policies that are more systematic, that that requires a large group of people to either adopt or be exposed to a healthy behavior outcome, or the healthy behavior is being exposed to a large group of people. And so what we really want to be able to do is if you have some policy ideas to address some of these issues where people live, learn, work, and play, you have to be able to understand, well, is it a catalytic policy? Is it going to indirectly influence? How is it going to actually impact the population? And then the next step is to think about, well, how are you going to measure that?
You have a question.
Can yes.
To clarify, do you have an example of a policy at the catalytic stage versus the systemic stage that just might help us understand that difference better?
Let's see. What's a good example?
The bench and the smoke-free ordinance. So we have like a state that went smoke-free.
Okay, yeah, a state. Okay, that's a, thank you.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here.
Okay, I think that a systematic policy would be something like a clean indoor air ordinance, where you can't, everyone who goes into a restaurant is exposed to clean air. You can't get away from it. Versus a catalytic policy, which might be something like a cigarette tax. You guys are good.
You're on vacation.
Versus cigarette tax. Okay. Does that clarify? Thanks. Sure. So I'm not going to go very much into the next two of the key functions, but it's really important that if you're talking about population health, that you'd be able to do chronic disease surveillance with either using like the YERBIS or the BRFIS data. And if your county does not have BRFIS data, it may be a good idea to try to make sure that you have that kind of data, or to collect that kind of data to find out what's going on at the population level over time. And for large jurisdictions, it may be worthwhile to be able to drill down to subsections within a large metropolitan area rather than just the entire metropolitan area. And local health departments need to not only be able to look at things at the population level, but they need to be able to do evaluations of some of these policy changes. And then finally, they need to be able to understand and pursue health equity. And the first step is really to train your health department staff on what health equity is. And if you have any questions about that at the end, I can share a few things with you. And the last two key functions are really about managing a local health department and making sure that you have the administrative and management functions available so that there's continual work within that area. And the final one, last but not least, is really LHD leadership. And I'm going to talk a lot about that after talking first about how many people are really required to do chronic disease prevention in a local health department. What I have here is the result of an exercise that the team did together. We divided local health departments into small, medium, and large, and we thought about the kinds of strategies that would be required to start doing PSE. And we thought about what kinds of leadership and what kinds of staff should be involved. And for small local health departments, we find that the health officer can do a lot, and because it's small, everyone knows everybody else. You know, the local health department may know the mayor or may know the individuals in the town council. And so in this case, leadership emphasis should be on proactive leadership and chronic disease prevention, educating the community, talking to people. And when we talked to small local health officers, we found that they really need at least one person that's actually working on chronic disease prevention. And so we figured that there would have to be at least one full-time equivalent for chronic disease prevention, in addition to the health officer. We also thought that at least some kind of administrative support could free up some other personnel, like health educators, if they still have health educators, to also work in that area. And then I'm going to save the rest for your own reading, because I'm going to have this available for large health departments, those serving persons of 500,000 or more. We thought that at least 12 full-time equivalent hours just working on chronic disease prevention was really necessary to really make a difference. How am I doing for time?
You are doing fine.
Okay. So leadership was a real critical area that we identified. The first area of leadership is really that the local health official should make sure that he or she is building and training the staff for chronic disease prevention. They need to identify a person that will be a chronic disease lead. If there's no actual department or administrative unit, there should at least be one person whose time is spent working on these issues. They can use peer assistance and mentoring to train some of their staff. NATRO does a lot of matchmaking of local health departments from one state or municipality with local health department people from another to mentor people. And there's a great deal of information online to help train people about health equity, about model policies, and those resources are there. So a chronic disease lead should be responsible for downloading all those resources and can help the local health officer in providing that kind of training. The second thing is leadership requires the ability to navigate a complex political and bureaucratic environment. And again, that means, you know, putting your head out there and taking a little bit of risk to advocate for public health. Leadership also requires creating and strengthening relationships with both traditional and non-traditional partners. And that could mean the local health officer forming a practice academic partnership, you know, with the local university, local school of public health. It may involve, you know, going and talking about health and how the decisions in the planning department or how the decisions in public works affects the health of the community, because many times people in these other city agencies have no idea that what they do impacts health. And so that there are all these opportunities for local health department officials to really communicate the impact of decision making outside of health impacts health. And this requires what we call meta leadership, which is working with the other leaders in the community that often have no direct relationship with public health in order to collaborate in order to bring about good population health outcomes. And let me just say that it works. Communities are actually doing this. Local health departments are beginning to build capacity, and there have been a great deal of successes. I'm just going to mention two very quick ones from Achieve, and then I'm going to turn it over to a real-life Achieve community who's been doing this. Putnam County, Missouri is an awesome rural community that has had a very strong local health officer who came to our Action Institute with a sense of curiosity about, you know, how do you do this? And what they wound up doing was leveraging Achieve funds to redevelop their town square by developing a master park plan. And after using Achieve funds for this planning, they were able to leverage the state to actually implement this master park plan. And so here you see part of their master park plan with with baseball diamonds, and the idea that they had was that they wanted something that would bring things to their traditional downtown, but that also facilitated physical activity. And here's their park. So I just want to just give you this idea that, you know, they're doing it. Ingham County, Michigan, they're a pretty large local health department. They have a very highly trained, diverse, and experienced staff. Well, they're doing amazing things with corner stores, making sure that corner stores that lower-income communities have access to have fresh fruits and vegetables. They're doing amazing things with workplace wellness. And I'm just going to turn it over to Carrie from Alexandria to talk about all the wonderful things that Alexandria, Virginia is doing.